This is continuous coverage.
Continuous coverage.
Continuous coverage. In the trial of Lori Vallow Daybill from the Hidden Killers Podcast.
Hidden Killers Podcast.
We're up to segment number four in our coverage of the trial of Lori Vallow Daybill. Let's head to the courtroom.
Why did you include this particular, these particular texts from Lori Vallow to Alex Cox and Melanie Boudreau in your summary?
Your Honor, I'll object that this takes things out of context. He specifically stated that he is going in line by line, and it looks like there's almost 100 lines between these two texts.
I'll overrule the objection, and I think it's appropriate for cross-examination. And
very good. Thank you.
I'm sorry. The question was, why did you include these particular text communications from Lori Vallow to Alex Cox and Melanie Boudreau in your summary?
During the course of the investigation, we found out that Adam Cox, another brother of Lori Vallow, had flown in conjunction with Charles Vallow to try to approach Lori regarding the things that were taking place. And so that's why I included these communications.
Okay. And turning to line 3120, I will be like Nephi, I am told, and so will you. In your review of the evidence and your research on the items of relevance in the iCloud account, what is Nephi?
Nephi is the name of an ancient prophet whose life is documented or chronicled in a book of scripture called the Book of Mormon. And so he is one of the, that book of scripture spans from 600 BC to roughly 400 AD, and Nephi is one of the first prophets that is documented in that particular book.
Okay. And the phrase, I will be like Nephi, other than an ancient prophet, was there significance to the investigation that merited review in the use of the word Nephi as applied to Lori Vallow and Alex Cox?
Objection. Calls for speculation. He's already indicated that Nephi is found throughout the Book of Mormon, which is hundreds of pages long.
I'll sustain the objection.
Thank you.
In terms of Lori's use and her own words identifying herself as Nephi, what were the situations involving Nephi that were relevant to the investigations?
Objection, calls for speculation.
I think there need to be some additional foundation. You're going to go into that term and what it means in the context of these communications.
Okay. So in terms of foundation, are you aware of historical attributes or story significance to the prophet Nephi?
I am.
Okay. What were the historic accounts related to the prophet Nephi?
Okay, objection vague. There are hundreds of stories about Nephi.
That's overruled.
Thank you.
The witness knows, the witness can answer.
The primary one relates to an incident where Nephi was commanded by God to slay an individual named Laban.
Your Honor, I'm going to object as this is speculative.
Overruled.
I'm sorry, you can keep going. You said it was about Nephi was commanded to slay Laban.
Yes.
And what was the rest of that particular historic accounting of the prophet Nephi?
Simply put, Laban was in possession of records that Nephi and his family wanted to possess before they left Jerusalem. And Nephi was commanded by God to slay Laban to obtain those records.
Okay. And so was Laban considered a good guy or a bad guy?
Bad guy.
Again, Your Honor, based on his response to the question, I believe it's irrelevant and that it specifically doesn't have anything to do with the crime that's charged here, and it doesn't even correlate.
Well, there's a reference to the term in the text, and I'll allow a little more on this, but it's getting outside the scope of, I think, what's relevant. Pretty quick here, Ms. Smith.
The defendant herself likened herself to Nephi, correct?
Yes.
and the defendant likened Alex Cox to Nephi, correct?
Yes.
Okay. If I understand correctly, Nephi was commanded to kill Laban.
That's correct.
I'm going to object as to vague. Nephi was commanded to do lots of things.
Overruled.
And the date that the defendant likens herself to Nephi was July 9th, 2019?
Yes.
She also told Alex he was like Nephi, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And in the text communication from Lori Vallow to Melanie Boudreau, did Lori Vallow indicate on July 10th, 2019, that Alex Cox was with her?
Yes.
Okay. Now, defense counsel pointed out, and we're going to chat about this in a minute, I noticed that there's a line number and a date, and then it appears to have a different line number and a different date in your summary. Why didn't you include every text between those two?
If I included every text between the two accounts, we would be at well over 8,000 text messages. And so I chose those texts that I felt were in context and were relevant. But oftentimes there would be three or four people texting with Lori Vallow at the same time, and some of those texts in between have no relevance whatsoever to this case. Other texts were very redundant. We see the same type of communication over and over and over again. And so I chose those text messages that I believed were relevant to this case and was cautious not to prepare this summary exhibit where I'm taking things out of context.
Okay. And if you included every text, it really wouldn't be a summary, would it?
No, it wouldn't.
Okay. Now, turning towards some chats that were in Lori for Style, can you tell us what we're seeing next on slide 7?
Yes, this is so a chat in the iCloud account generally was amongst multiple individuals, and the chat would contain numerous or could contain numerous texts. This is a chat between Lori Vallow, Cole Vallow, and Zach Vallow. Cole Vallow and Zach Vallow are Charles Vallow's sons.
Okay. And this is communication from Lori Vallow in that chat?
Correct.
Okay. Could you please read into the records the communications that Lori Vallow had and to whom?
Certainly. So July 12th, 2019. Hi, boys. I have very sad news. Your dad passed away yesterday. I'm working on making arrangements, and I'll keep you informed with what's going on. I'm still not sure how to handle things. Just want you to know that I love you, and so did your dad. 3:41 p.m. on the same date. Lori, what happened? 3:43 p.m. We are still waiting for the ME report. I'll let you know more when I can. 5:54 p.m. Lori, what the fuck happened? You can't just tell us out dad died and disappeared. You're not too busy to just let us know he died and disappear.
Okay. Why did you include this particular series of chats in your summary?
For timeline purposes, this series of communications took place the day following Charles Vallow's death, and it is indicative of the communication from Lori Vallow to Charles Vallow's sons regarding their father's death, but excludes the manner of death.
Now, let's move ahead in terms of in. Within a few hours of that on July 13th, could you tell us what we're seeing in the SMS section of Lolly Time at iCloud.com?
Yes. This is a series of texts between Chad Daybell, Lori Vallow, and ultimately Melanie Boudreau, subsequent to Charles Vallow's death. Brandon Boudreau, Melanie Boudreau's husband, brought an individual to the house to talk with Melanie, and this series of texts is in regards to that person.
Okay. And Lori Vallow was a part of this text communication, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And it was a text communication between Lori and Chad and included Melanie Boudreau.
Correct.
Okay. Could you please read those in the record?
Yes. Line 3002 from Chad Daybell to Lori Vallow. I will check all Bloomer and husband. Line 3001 from Lori Vallow to Chad Daybell. Good idea. Line 3000 from Chad Daybell to Lori Vallow. Allie Bloomer is 4.1 dark. Her cop husband is 3 dark. I suppose Brandon doesn't know yet about the discovered Charles's texts. Line 2996 from Lori Vallow to Melanie Boudreau. Allie Bloomer's husband, 3, and then a dark emoji.
And so these texts, you know, involving Chad, Lori, and then ultimately Melanie Boudreau were between 9:30 p.m. and around 10:05 p.m. on the 13th, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And why did you include these texts between that time in your summary?
I included them because they demonstrate that anyone who tried to intercede was identified as dark.
I don't understand how...
No, I'm going to object. That's speculative, and we're now getting into the weeds.
I'll sustain that, and wish to have the answer stricken, I presume.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Yes. All right. The previous answer will be stricken, not to be considered by the jurors.
Okay. So, did you have, in context of the iCloud, did it reflect who Allie Bloomer was?
Allie Bloomer was a friend of Melanie Boudreau.
Okay. And
Brandon Boudreau.
Okay. And did you learn whether or not Allie Bloomer had approached Melanie Boudreau about her situation with Lori Vallow?
It was Brandon Boudreau.
Objection hearsay, Judge.
Overruled.
It was Brandon Boudreau who brought Allie Bloomer and her husband, who was a police officer, over to the house to talk to Melanie Boudreau.
Okay. And then this text communication reflects reaching out by Lori Vallow and Chad Vallow and ultimately to Melanie Boudreau about the sort of status of Allie Bloomer and her husband.
Correct. Those two individuals visited the Boudreau residence and they were identified as dark.
Now, sticking within this same time frame, within a day and a half of Charles Vallow's death, there were other texts or SMS that you considered relevant?
Yes.
Can you tell us what we're seeing as reflected in line 2967 from July 13th?
Yes, this is a text between Chad Daybell or a text from Chad Daybell to Lori Vallow. Regarding plans for the two of them to get together.
Can you please read that?
Yes.
Once?
Line 2967. Concerning the 2 weeks, BYU Idaho's graduation is July 23rd. Adam is getting his bachelor's, and Leah and Joe are getting their associates. They are all walking in the same commencement ceremony. I feel she will be gone by then, but I will still have that hoopla to deal with because a lot of my and Adam's family are coming and will stay for July 24th. So I believe that's why the Lord hinted I might not get to be with you until that is over. Please ask about that.
And were there additional texts associated with that conversation?
Yes.
Are we seeing those on the next slide?
There's a series the next few slides, I believe.
Okay. If you could, what's the next date and time of that text in this series of communication between Chad and Lori?
July 14th of 2019.
Could you read the text into the record, please?
Yes. Line 2962 from Chad Daybell to Lori Vallow. Good morning, my most beautiful Lily. Thanks for joining me in the shower this morning. Wow. Getting ready to leave for my meetings. Does noon your time look like a time we could talk? I love you so immensely that the whole universe knows it, and very soon the people on this little blue globe will know it too. Line 2961. Morning, sunshine. Sure. Call me if you get a chance. And that's from Lori Vallow to Chad Daybell.
And let's move to the, I believe this is the rest of the series.
It is the rest of the series, but then it gets into also another aspect of the iCloud accounts.
Okay. If we could finish the series and then we'll go back and finish this aspect, is that okay?
Okay.
Okay.
So the last in the series would be 2935 from Chad Daybell to Lori Vallow. I love you so much. You are my greatest desire and my best friend. Now on with the story.
Okay. So turning back to what began with the series, why did you include this series of text communications from Chad and to Lori and vice versa?
I included this due to the reference that Chad Daybell stated, I feel she will be gone by then. And then at the end, I believe that's why the Lord hinted I might not get to be with you until that is over.
What relevance did it have in terms of your review of the iCloud and the evidence overall?
The reference to Tammy Daybell being gone and the ability for Chad Daybell and Lori Vallow to be together at a future point.
I'm going to object to speculation and ask that it be stricken.
I'll sustain that.
So following up on that, had you seen previous texts and communications or heard from witnesses that Chad Daybell had told people Tammy Daybell was going to die?
From witnesses that were interviewed, yes, we heard repeatedly that Chad Daybell had told numerous persons that Tammy Daybell
Objection, that's hearsay, Judge.
Go ahead, Ms. Smith.
Thank you. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. If you want to argue in response to the...
Thank you. Your Honor, this is part of the relevance of a summary of an agent. It has to be viewed in context of the evidence overall. We aren't authoring the statement that Tammy was going to die for the truth that the person said it. What we're doing is to put this text and this communication in conversation, put this communication in context of what the co-conspirators are discussing. And so while defense counsel's argument is that it's speculation, in context of his knowledge, his experience, his analysis, his looking at all of the iClouds, it's not speculation.
Well, it was hearsay was the specific objection lodged.
Well, and, Your Honor, it's a statement of a co-conspirator.
Okay.
In furtherance of conspiracy.
I guess I'm just saying, I'm saying what he's saying is that the information that he got from other people that Tammy was going to die is hearsay. That was his response.
No, that wasn't his response, Your Honor.
All right. Counsel, I'm going to sustain the objection. You can ask another question, Ms. Smith.
Okay. Had you learned from the review of iCloud and information that Chad Daybell told people that Chad, in his own words, said that Tammy was going to die?
Yes.
Okay. And knowing that information, did that put this text and SMS message in context?
Yes.
Okay. There's also a line that says, please ask about that. What, if any, significance did that line have to you?
During the course of the communications, there were several times where Chad and Lori would ask one another to seek confirmation of a specific plan or event that may take place in the future.
And so in this this is an example where Chad is asking Lori's advice.
He's asking her to ask about what he's just laid out.
Okay. The next in that series has a line, "Good morning, my most beautiful Lily." What, if any, significance did that line have to you?
Both Chad Daybell and Lori Vallow had multiple names that they used for one another. Chad was known as Chad Daybell, Raphael, and James. Lori Vallow was known as Lily and Elena.
So they would call each other these names in between various texts?
Yes. For the most part, Lily was used very frequently by Chad Daybell in reference to Lori Vallow.
Okay. And is this discussion of "thanks for joining me in the shower this morning" evidence that Lori was physically with Chad?
No.
Objection, that's calling for speculation.
Sustained.
Do you know or have information on July 14th, 2019 at 7:42 in the morning whether Lori Vallow was physically with Chad Daybell?
She was not. She was in Arizona.
Okay. And looking at this text, is it uncommon between the two that they would imply they had been with each other when physically that was impossible?
That's correct.
Is there any other reason of significance to you why you included this particular part of the text string?
The reference by Chad Daybell that soon the people on this little blue globe will know how much he loved Lori Vallow.
Why was that significant?
It's directly relevant to their relationship with one another and their plans together in the future.
Your Honor, I'm going to object. I think he's making a conclusion that's best made by the jury itself, not by a witness.
All right. Well, the objection's not timely, so overruled.
Thank you.
All right. Now, turning to sort of the end of this line of text communication, you indicated, "I love you so much. You are my greatest desire and best friend. Now, on with the story." What did that mean?
In the iCloud, in the SMS section, as well as the email section, there is a story authored by Chad Daybell entitled "The James and Elena Story." It is partly accurately historical as to real events, and it is partly fantasy. And so this is a segment that Chad Daybell sent to Lori Vallow on July 14th of 2019 that contains a part of this James and Elena story.
And you, in your summary, didn't include the whole story of James and Elena?
No, I did not.
Why did you pick portions?
I picked those portions that I felt were illustrative of how Chad Daybell and Lori Vallow met, and some of the significant events that occurred early on in their relationship that were journaled or chronicled by Chad Daybell.
Okay. And so these portions had relevance in terms of timing on when he sent them?
Not so much on timing of when he sent them versus the contents.
Okay. But these were sent, this one, that I believe we're seeing one of those texts on line 2933 from Chad Daybell to Lori Vallow on July 14th, 2019.
Correct.
Less than 3 days after her husband died.
Correct.
Okay. Could you please read that into the record?
Yes. Line 2933, text from Chad Daybell to Lori Vallow. "They would both attend the same event in mid-November, and it seemed like that day would never arrive. Each day they opened their hearts to each other a little more. James knew he could trust her with the mysteries of the universe that had been revealed to him. He knew they had been married before, and they had been close friends with the Savior when he lived in Jerusalem. James had served in an important position in the Lord's church, and Elena had been his beloved spouse and best friend. That relationship was now meant to continue in this lifetime.
And did that text exchange between Marie and Chad continue?
Yes.
And that was at July 14th at 3:05, the next one?
Correct.
Okay. Could you please read that one into the record?
Yes, line 2930. Text from Chad Daybell to Lori Vallow. As James and Elena talked on the phone, he tried to delicately describe their connection to each other, and he was delighted that she believed him. He also shared that they had been married at other times on a previous world, and she accepted that information as well. James was overjoyed to have these memories restored to him because he truly loved her with all of his heart. He knew they were meant to be married again and complete important missions together before the second coming. He was ecstatic that she was receiving confirmation of these things as well. As they talked on the phone, the spiritual connection was so intense that it also produced physical desires, and it was as if their spirits were making love despite the great distance between them. James knew his spirit was visiting her during those occasions. He also became aware...
Objection misstates the actual text.
It was misread.
I'm sorry, what did I misread?
If you want to just start again, James knew his spirit. We don't need to start all over again.
All right. James knew his spirit was visiting her during those conversations. He also became aware that his spirit would visit her at night, and they would wrap around each other in a sensual embrace. Kissing her was so wonderful and real, and he knew that the next time they saw each other, he needed to kiss her. He wouldn't be able to resist holding her. He was absolutely in love with her in every way.
Why did you include those fraction of the James and Elena story in your summary?
I included those because of the insight they give into the way in which Chad Daybell and Lori Vallow met and how their relationship began.
Okay. Turning to the next lines in Lolly Time, the line 2915 from July 14th, 2019. Could you please read what's included in slide 13?
Yes. Line 2915, text from Chad Daybell to Lori Vallow. Hanging in there, but really missing you too. Please find out the name of Mel's campout in Utah. I have no intention of going, but I feel it is our avenue to get together, whether she is still here or not. Line 2914, from Lori Vallow to Chad Daybell. Zion's Family Camp. Mel speaks Wednesday night, and Dave speaks Thursday night. Shelley M. is their main speaker, eye roll. Line 2913, from Chad Daybell to Lori Vallow. Well, that should work for me to get away, though. I spoke at it 2 years ago, which is when I first met Mel. What time do you fly out tomorrow? Line 2913, from Chad Daybell to Lori Vallow. My trip to speak at the camp July 24th through 26th has been approved and is now on the calendar.
Okay. Why did you include in that series of text between Chad Daybell and Lori Vallow in your summary?
During the course of the investigation, we discovered travel that Chad Daybell undertook July 24th through the 26th, where he flew to Arizona to visit Lori Vallow. This is the story that he came up with to justify his travel.
Did their texting continue on that 14th?
It did.
Can you please identify in reading the record what is contained on slide 14?
Line 2889 from Chad Daybell to Lori Vallow. I need so badly to just gently kiss you for hours. Line 2888 from Chad Daybell to Lori Vallow. It would likely lead to other activities. Line 2887 from Lori Vallow to Chad Daybell. Likely or luckily. Line 2886 from Chad Daybell to Lori Vallow. It would luckily lead to nakedness.
So this text exchange between Chad Daybell and Lori Vallow occurred on July 14th around 8:30 at night?
Correct.
Okay, and that's of 2019?
Yes.
Okay. Just about 3 days after Charles Vallow was killed?
Correct.
Can you please identify and read into the record what's in the chat section of Lori for Style on line 2127?
Yes, this is a continuation of the chat between Lori Vallow, Cole Vallow, and Zach Vallow on July 15th, 2019. Okay, Lori, it's been 3 days. You let us know our father passed away over a text message. 3 days and we haven't heard from anyone. The only information we have is that one text from you saying he passed away. You disappeared after that. We need any information you have. What happened? When did it happen? How did it happen? Where is he now? Are there any funeral plans? And can Zach and I be part of it? We talk to him all the time and now he's gone. He was our dad and we loved him very much. We deserve answers. Also, why have you been the only one to contact us? We haven't heard from Colby or Tylee. I know they are affected too. I called Colby recently too, but he didn't answer. Is JJ safe, and what does he know? I need to be kept in the loop about this all. This isn't a nonchalant topic you can just throw a text at and be done with it.
Why did you include this particular chat from Lori for Style in your summary?
Mainly just to show the communication between her and Charles Vallow's children and the fact that she did not communicate what had taken place.
Okay. And so she had communicated on July 12th with them about their father dying?
Correct.
Did you find evidence that she gave them any information in the text that you saw from July 12th to July 14th about what happened to their father?
No.
But the text that we saw between her and Melanie Boudreau and her and Chad had occurred in that intervening period?
Correct.
In that intervening period, did you see any evidence in her text communication with the people of sorrow or regret or remorse over Charles Vallow's death?
Objection, it's not relevant.
Sorrow, remorse, and sorrow, remorse, and regret are consciousness of guilt and are highly relevant to a defendant's state of mind.
It's moved to strike, and it's also speculative.
Yeah, okay, first, no speaking objections or responses, please. So the objection is overruled.
In the text messaging and the account that you saw of Lori Vallow from the time she notified Charles Vallow's sons on July 12th of his death to the time that Charles Vallow's sons reached out on July 15th, did you find any evidence or evidence of remorse, regret, or sorrow in the defendant's communications with anyone?
Your Honor, I'm going to object. I believe that's the jury's province to decide that.
Overruled.
None.
Your Honor, we're transitioning to another section. I certainly can do that, but that will take more than 5 minutes. This might be a decent stopping place if you want us to end at noon.
Okay. Why don't we go ahead and do that, since it appears it'll be more time for this witness starting back Monday. So we will adjourn for the day. before we do that, noting we're going into the weekend, let me just again address our jurors here. We continue to appreciate the long service you've provided in this case. It's important for you to follow the instruction upon the commencement of the day and through the weekend till we return Monday. Please do not discuss the case amongst yourselves or with anyone else during the time between now and when you return. Please do not follow the case at all. If you see it in the media, don't do anything to look up the case, access any other information that could impair your ability to decide this case only upon the evidence that you're hearing here in court today. So with that admonishment in mind, we will go ahead and recess for the day with the plan to start back with additional evidence Monday morning at 8:30.
All right, please.
That wraps up segment number 4 in our coverage today. The trial of Lori Vallow Daybell. Press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. You don't miss any of our coverage, courtroom action, interviews, and discussions on the case. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.
This is continuous coverage.
Continuous coverage.
Continuous coverage.
In the trial of Lori Vallow Daybell from the Hidden Killers Podcast.
Hidden Killers Podcast.
This podcast is supported by Talkspace.
When my husband came home from his military deployment, readjusting was hard for all of us. Thankfully, I found Talkspace.
Talkspace provides professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatric providers online. Military members, veterans, and their dependents ages 13 and older can get fast access to providers, all from the privacy of their computers or smartphones.
I just answered a few questions online, and Talkspace matched me with a therapist. We meet when it's convenient for me, and I can message her anytime. It was so easy to set up, and they accept TRICARE. Therapy was going so well, my husband and I started seeing a couples therapist through Talkspace, too.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, including TRICARE. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com/military. Go to Talkspace.com/military to get started today. That's Talkspace.com/military.